first of all, I came from a totally secular family. I mean, there was never any religious dimension to anything we did. We knew we were Jews. We were educated in Yiddish and Jewish history. We had to learn some Yiddish and so on, but that was the extent of it. But you know, if you went into the wrong neighborhood, no matter where you were, somebody didn't like you, you know, and it was always that way. I mean, with the other groups, some places they didn't like people because they were like where I hung out, a lot of people, they despised the Irish for some reason, which absolutely escaped me. And my first love was Nora Keegan, so how could that? Mm-hmm. I was 12 and she was 14, but whatever. Anyhow, in the Navy, early on, I just didn't accept any garbage about it. And in those days, I had a pretty terrible temper, and I was called into the adjutant, who said, "Look, I understand what's happening here, but you're going to have to." He didn't say cool it, but that was the gist of it. Because it's going to get into your record, and you really don't want that to follow you through your career in the Navy. I don't know what career. I signed up for the duration of 6 months, not a career. And, you know, once I made it clear that they didn't have to love me, but I didn't want to hear anything, it took some making a clear effort, but it worked. And then I realized how it had to be handled. And when I went to a diesel school after boot camp, right away I made it very clear where I was coming from, who I was. But to some extent, being from Brooklyn was even much worse than being a Jew, for Pete's sake. You're from Brooklyn? Yeah, I mean, isn't everybody from Brooklyn? And you know, and if you have a temper, you tell them, you know, there's more people in my neighborhood than your whole state, so lighten up. And that's about as polite as I ever got. And then when I was assigned to the ship, she wasn't completed yet, so we were put in a barracks up there in a Charleston Navy Yard. Right away I made it clear what the situation was. And if they didn't like it, that was too bad, but I didn't want to hear anything about it. And it worked pretty well. And there were, you know, there were several Jewish kids on the ship, as a matter of fact. And one of my friends, who became a close friend on the ship, years later, we were walking around the reunion, he says to me, "Tell me, Slats, did you used to be Jewish?" I said, "Yeah, and I still am, bud." And then he sent me where he got these numbers, the percentages of Jews that served in the military during the war. And I think it was 2% of the population, so it was half of them were women, I have to assume. But more than 2% were serving. The Navy was more than 2%. The Air Force was much more than 2%. The Army was more than 2%. The Marines were 2%. Which made sense. And
why do you say it made sense?
Well, I'll give you another anecdote. You know who Tony Curtis is?
Yes.
Okay, he's a Jew, okay, from the Bronx. And he was 17 when the war broke out, and he was going to sign up, and he persuaded his mother to sign. And he describes at one of our reunions how he went to sign up. And they had these big recruiting outfits at that time. And the first one is a Marine. And the Marine guy calls him over, and, you know, "How about you want to sign up?" And Tony tells me, he says, "I wasn't going to join the Marines. The Marines is too dangerous," he says to me. And he spoke with a Bronx accent, which I thought was amazing, because in the movies he didn't. Anyhow, "He's too dangerous," he says. "So I went and I joined the Navy," he said, "which is true, but he volunteered for submarine duty," all right? So that's how people make decisions. And I'd like to know how he experienced being a Jew in the Navy also. But it was quite clear after a while that everybody had to do their job. To most people, I mean, there were some people that were totally uneducable or whatever. There's not, you know, we have them today. So, you know, I see them interviewing nominations to the Supreme Court.